A blessing to be with you all, and I'm so very thankful for this study that you all are doing. I'd love to know how those other classes have gone, because as I looked at the titles, I thought those are some deep. I said this to Phil earlier; those are some deep lessons, and I know you've been blessed this summer. Yahweh Shalom is what we're going to look at this evening. And we're going to look at Judges because that's kind of the basis for it. It's the Lord of Peace. You know, the whole idea behind this study, because as I looked at it, I believe the caption was knowing God, or to know God. And I immediately went to what Paul wrote to the church in Philippi. And you'll remember, it's in chapter 3, we actually have a song that we sing to it. I want to know Christ and the power of His rising. I don't know if you know that or not, but it's the scripture of Philippians 3:10, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His suffering, being conformed to His death. That's what this whole summer is about, is getting to know the names of God, getting to know Christ. And I'm so very thankful that we're going to take some time and look at Yahweh, the Lord of Shalom, peace. We're going to be in Judges chapter 6. If you've got your Bibles, which I hope you do, I want to encourage you to go there. I'm not going to read the entire section that I'd like to, just because I know it's one that you're familiar with. But also, it would be a big chunk of our time. And so I want to save that for some other. But just so you get an idea, Judges, and you know Judges, is all about the cycle of living for God, sinning, going into captivity, crying out to God. He delivers them, and they live for God. And then they sin. And then they're thrown into captivity. And they cry out to God. And then they're delivered. And they're living for God, until they fall away from God, the new generations. And you know that cycle. You've read it. We're in the midst of one of these now. As we look at Judges chapter 3 or 6, and as we're looking at this, I want you to pick up something here that I think is very, very interesting. There's a prophet who comes and he says, and if you look at it, it's actually going to be in verse 8, thus says the Lord, the God of Israel. And then he quotes God. And that's all we know about him. It was I who brought you up from Egypt and brought you out from the house of slavery. He's speaking for God. I delivered you from the hands of the Egyptians and from the hands of all your oppression, and disposed them before you and gave you their land. And he said to you, and he's still speaking to God, I am the Lord your God, and you shall not fear the gods of the Amorites in whose land you now live, but you have not obeyed me. That's what the prophet's message is. He's just telling what God said. And you know they've been thrown into oppression with the Midianites, as you continue to read, to the point that they're hiding in caves. They're doing anything they can to save themselves from this oppression, until an angel of the Lord comes and he sits under the oak in Ophrah. And he goes to a man by the name of Gideon. And we read the text that Gideon was beating out wheat in the wine press in order to save from the Midianites. He's afraid. To just tell you point blank, Gideon's scared that they're going to come in and take his grain. And so he's beating it out. He's threshing it, not where you would expect him to be. He's hiding. Why was he doing that? He's afraid. He's fearful. Just like all the Israelites who are hiding in caves and doing anything they can, scavenging to make sure that they're protected. And yet the God of peace is saying, I'm here, but you haven't obeyed me. So he appears to Gideon. If I were to take you there, let's go ahead and look at what he says in verse 12. He makes a very interesting statement. Did you see it there? The Lord is with you, you chicken. That's not what he said. The Lord is with you, O valiant warrior. I wonder what Gideon thought. You're talking to me, the valiant warrior? I'm kind of afraid right now. But God goes to him through the angel of the Lord, which could very well be Christ pre-incarnate. We're not sure, but there's evidences that kind of direct us towards that. He said, Actually, it's a series of questions. And if you look at this, it's very interesting. There's some questions that Gideon has for the Lord, if you will. He says, why then has all this happened to us? If the Lord's with us, why is this happening? Does that sound like something we say? Folks, it's exactly what we say. Why is it so dry and hot? 110, are you serious? Lord, if you're with us, where are you at? We question. Because quite honestly, we don't have peace. We're going to get to that in just a minute. Look at the next question. Where are all his miracles, which our fathers told us about? We've heard the stories. Our fathers and grandfathers, we've heard the stories. Where is he? Where is this? But now the Lord has abandoned us and given us the hand of the Midians. Look what happens in verse 14, because it's very interesting. The Lord looked at him. I think that's very interesting. In other words, it's almost like, look at me. I want to make eye contact with you. Look at me. He said, looked at him and says, go in this your strength and deliver Israel from the hand of Midian. Have I not sent you? I'm sending you on a battle. I'm sending you on a task. You have got an objective here. You're going to be the one who delivers, valiant warrior. Here's another question. Lord, how shall I deliver Israel? Behold, my family is least of Manasseh, and I'm the youngest of my father's house. I'm the baby of the family. And my family is not really that well known. I'm not a big name. How can I be the one that does that? And the Lord said to him, I will be with you, and you shall defeat the Midians as one man. And you know this because you've read this. And he says, if I have found favor in your sight, I want to hit this real quickly. He says, show me a sign. Listen to verse 18. He said, do not depart from here. This is Gideon speaking. Don't go away until I come back. Oh, it sounds like a kid, doesn't it? Oh, wait, right here. I'll be right back. Don't depart until I come back and bring my offering and lay it before you. And look at the response of the Lord. Are you serious? I'm not going to wait for you. I got a schedule to go. You got to take the task I'm giving to you and do it. What does the Lord say? I'll wait. What beautiful patience of our God. I'll wait. If you need some time, I'll wait. And he does. And the angel of report, verse 19. Then Gideon went and prepared a young goat and unleavened bread with an ephah of flour. He put the meat in a basket, broth in a pot, brought them under the oak and presented them. The angel of the Lord said to him, take out the meat, unleavened bread, lay them on the rock and pour out the broth. I always thought that was interesting. That's kind of the gravy, and I kind of like the gravy. I don't want to waste the gravy, but you see, it's almost like that stuff that you value, pour it out. Put the meat, put the bread here, put the sacrifice here. And the angel of the Lord put out the end of the staff. This is the 21st verse. That was in his hand. He touched the meat and unleavened bread. And look what happened. The rock catches on fire. The fire from the rock, it consumes it and eats it. It consumes the meat. And the angel of the Lord vanishes. He's gone. And when Gideon saw that he was the angel of the Lord, he said, alas, O Lord God, for now I've seen the angel of the Lord face to face. And then the Lord said to him, remember, the angel of the Lord has vanished. If it was indeed Christ pre-incarnate, has gone. But the Lord speaks, peace to you. Do not fear. You shall not die. You've got a task. You've got a task. Then Gideon, this is where we're going to land. Verse 24. Then Gideon built an altar there to the Lord and named it Yahweh Shalom. The Lord is peace. And it's still, to this day, is still an Ophrah of the Abarites. Now, you could continue reading, and I think it's important that you do see this. I don't want to go too long for it. He does his first task. God's command was take your father's bull and a second bull, 7 years old, pull down the altar of Baal. That belongs to your dad. Pull it down and cut down the Ashtaroth that's beside it. Here's your first task. And that's to make a statement. Pull it down and build an altar to the Lord your God on the top of the stronghold in an orderly manner. If you want to know what that looks like, go to Exodus chapter 20, verse 25. It'll tell you how they're supposed to build that altar. No cut stones. and take a second bull and a burnt offering with the wood of the Ashtaroth, which you shall cut down. And Gideon took 10 men of his servants and did as the Lord spoke to him. And he did it because he was too afraid of his father's household and the men of the city to do it by day. So what did he do? He did it by night. But I know that, and that's important to catch. But this is what I want you to realize. It's the very end of verse 27. He did it. He did it by night, but he did it. You see, folks, there are so many times we know what we're supposed to do and we're afraid to do it. We know I'm supposed to make that call, or I ought to just go ahead and put things down and write that letter. Do we do that anymore? We should. I don't think it would hurt. They still make stamps and envelopes and pencils and pens. We could take some time and say, this is something I got to do. But you know what we got to do? We got to follow Gideon's example. He did it. Just do it. He did it. Yes, it was by night, but he did it. I want us to consider something here as we go through this, because I think it's very interesting. This idea of shalom, peace. God is peace. The Lord is peace. Yahweh is shalom. Yahweh shalom. That's echoed throughout Scripture. I don't know if you're a note taker or not, but I want you to at least consider a few things on these scriptures on this slide. Some things that we can look at. The first one is actually come from Isaiah 9:6. It's the idea of the Prince of Peace, the prophecy of what's coming through the Messiah. The Prince of Peace is coming. And we see it again in Psalm 29, verse 11. The Lord blesses people with peace. Folks, that's us. We need to realize that we have peace in Jesus Christ. As a matter of fact, I think it's so critical we understand this. Jesus said this hours before he died. He's talking to his disciples, John chapter 14, verse 27. And he says, peace I leave with you. Not as the world gives do I give. Peace. We know that. I know we know that. The question is, do we live like we know it? Or do we hide in the wine press, beating out the wheat? A couple more, just for reference. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 7 through 9. The idea is the peace of God will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. How are we able to do this? Because God gives us peace. Jesus said, it's not the peace of the world, it's what I give you. Paul said later in Colossians, God makes peace. How? Through the blood of his cross. How do we do this? It's because of the gift that Jesus has given to us. Now, again, if you're a note taker, I want to give you a few more because there's so many. I didn't want to just walk through each one of them, but I want you to see them. Romans chapter 15, verse 33, we're speaking of peace, as Paul writes, again in 16:20. You can continue catching Paul's words in 1st and 2nd Corinthians 14:33 and 13:11. Read these. I'm not giving you details, but I'm giving you something to grab a hold of. God is peace. And I see that all the way through Scripture. Hebrews 13, 20 and 21. Our God is peace. And we see that over and over and over again in Scripture. Yahweh Shalom, the Lord is peace. Reading God's word, we find the peace that displays God's character. When we understand our God, folks, we realize that peace has been extended to us because we are children of God. And if you know anything about me and what I do with this ministry, and I'll be happy to talk to you more about it, this has got to be, this must be your number one favorite book, period, end of sentence. If you don't make God's word your priority, you have no foundation. You've got nothing to build on. That's why I wanted to put those texts in front of you. That's why I wanted to remind you of the idea that this peace is not just something we say, it's what we live by. It's what gives us strength. Honestly, and I did not know who Frank was. I might have met him when I was here in March. I don't know. But when Frank passed, Frank reached peace. Based on what I understand from you all and from him, he reached peace. Do you know we can also find peace? And this is kind of my bailiwick, if you will, to the songs that we sing. It will underscore the truth that Gideon found. Now, you might say, well, Myron, I'm not exactly sure what you mean by that. The whole idea of the Prince of Peace, and the Lord blesses people with peace, and peace comes from Jesus and the God of peace. Do you know the songs that we sing, like, there comes to my heart one sweet frame, strain, a glad and a joyous refrain? I sing it again and again. Do you know the song? Sweet peace, the gift of God's love. We sing about that. Or maybe, Prince of Peace, control my will. We sing about it. When peace like a river. You see, when we understand our songs and think about them, Lord, make us instruments of your peace. It's a song. There will be peace in the valley for me. We love the idea of peace and we sing about it because it comes from here. Those songs are just poems. But when they're rooted in God's word, it helps us to understand what Jesus said. When he said, my peace I give unto you. As he made that statement and we can sing it, it reminds us why we go through this life. We don't have to be afraid. But you know, there's another one. There is another song that talks about peace. And I want us to dig into it tonight. If you want to take your number two favorite book, you can. I think it's 479, if I remember correctly. But I want you to hold on to your number one favorite book, because that's what we're going to find the truth of. And it's a song you've sung forever. Peace, perfect peace. It's an interesting song. Matter of fact, I don't remember when this song was written. I want to say it was the 1800s. But there's a very interesting thing that happens with this song. We sing it, and if you look at the book, it's just a poem, is peace, perfect peace in this dark world of sin. There is no question mark, at least not in the Faith and Praise. Some songbooks will have it. But every line in this song, our book only has four. There's actually six, and we're going to look at all six of them. Every line in this song, save the last one, ends with a question mark. It's a question we sing. Peace. Perfect peace. In this dark world of sin? Seriously? How can you say that? How can you say that there will be perfect peace when I live in such a dark world of sin? You got your number one favorite book? Because you need to turn, if you do, to Colossians chapter 1. Let's take a look at Colossians and see what Paul says here. Colossians chapter 1. As Paul is speaking here or writing here to the church, he makes this statement. I'm going to go ahead and back us up a little bit. Verse 13, he's talking about the incomparable Christ and how nothing compares, and that he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation, verse 15. Verse 18, he is also the head of the body of the church, and he is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that he himself will come to have first place in everything. Verse 19. For it was the Father's good pleasure for all the fullness to dwell in him, and through him to reconcile all things to himself. We have a chance to be reconciled with God through Jesus Christ. Keep reading. Having made peace through the blood of his cross, through him, I say, whether things on earth or things in heaven. We have peace through the blood of Jesus Christ. How can you say we have peace, perfect peace, in this dark world of sin? If you sung the song, you know the next question is the answer. And it will be the same way in all five verses. The blood of Jesus whispers peace. We have peace within because of the blood of Jesus Christ. You see, as we go through this song, you're going to see a question, and then you're going to see an answer. And every answer will be tied right back to God's word. Second question, second verse. Peace, perfect peace by thronging duties that press. I've got so much to do. I don't care if you're retired or if you're in high school or college or whether you're in the midst of your career. We always have things that press us, right? Thronging duties pressed. That's just old English for saying I got a lot to do. It's all around me. I'm feeling way down. I don't know how to handle it. Turn to Romans chapter 14. Let's see what the scripture tells us. Romans chapter 14. I'm going to pick us up in verse 16. Therefore, do not let what is for you a good thing be spoken of as evil, for the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking. You know, he's talking here about meat sacrificed to idols. It's not in eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. Verse 18, for he who in this way serves Christ is acceptable to God, approved by men. So then, we pursue the things which make for peace and the building up of one another. Folks, there's a lot to do. I know that. There's miles that we have to travel. I got it. There's late hours that we have to either study or to work, or we're thronging duties are pressing us. But do you know what matters? Do you know what's the most important thing? To do the will of Jesus. This is peace. You see, or this is rest. We have so many things that we get distracted by, and that's the devil's playbook. He wants to keep us off kilter, keep us confused, and I've got to do this, and I've got to do this, and how am I going to get this done? And the next thing I know, I haven't even opened my Bible to read. What really kills me is when those thronging duties press me to the point I don't go to church on Sunday morning. I got to go into work. I've got so much that's weighing me down. And you know this is true. Now, I know I'm also singing to the choir. I know that you're here and this is priority for you. It's going to be Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. If there's a gospel meeting, I'm going to be there. But you know there are brothers and sisters that if an opportunity comes to get some extra hours at work, overtime, or if I've got this project that has to be done because it's due, I'll tell you an antidote. We used to live in Richardson at Waterview Church of Christ where I worked with Robert Oglesby as a pulpit preacher. I was one of the associate ministers, led the singing, but I also worked with college students, and I was able to work with them in different areas. And we would have Bible class on Sunday mornings. We had opportunities throughout the week to study. We had things on Wednesday nights. And I'll never forget how whenever I would try to have Bible studies or something going on, it was hard to get the college students to come. Now, granted, I'm talking about 20 years ago, so maybe it's gotten better. Just asking. But things would come up and I couldn't go. I couldn't be there. Sorry, I'd like to go. But what really slayed me was when they said, I can't make it to Bible class on Sunday morning. And I'd say, I understand. I said, we're going to miss you. Are you heading back home to be with your folks? No, I've got to study for a test on Monday. I understand. Those tests are important. What did you do on Saturday? Well, we had intramurals, and we were doing some of that stuff. Or we went to a movie with some folks, and you did that instead of studying. Do you see what happens? The thronging duties pressed are sometimes self-inflicted. I've got so much to do because I have not prioritized my number one favorite book or my God. And now I haven't done the will of Jesus and I've missed the rest. The song speaks to it. We understand it. Third verse, another question. Peace, perfect peace. Open the Gospels. I'm going to take you to Mark, but you could actually find this, I think, also in Matthew. And you know the situation. The song says, peace, perfect peace, with sorrows surging round. Interesting wording, but you know, again, as I said, it's archaic language. It's older language, 1800s. But if you look at this, this is actually a reference, in my opinion, to what we see in Mark chapter 4, verse 35 through 41. Jesus is on the Sea of Galilee with his disciples. And let's go over. They're leaving the crowd. They get in the boat. There rose a fierce gale and the winds and break over the boat. So much the boats were filling up. Jesus is asleep. He's doing good. No problem here. Master, the tempest is raging. Care us not that we perish. That's another reference to a song which comes from here. He got up and he rebuked the wind and he said to the sea, hush. Peace be still is another translation. But the idea is, get quiet, settle down, hush, cease striving. is the literal in that. And the winds died down and became perfectly calm. With sorrows surging round. When my boat of life on the sea of life is feeling like it's loading up with water and I'm going down. Have you ever felt that? You ever felt like it was too much? Peace. How can I have peace? How can I have perfect peace with sorrows surging all around me? What's the answer? Just like in this, on the Sea of Galilee, on Jesus' bosom, in his embrace, in his hold, nothing but calm is found there. Beautiful poetry. But folks, it's more than just a poem. It's a reminder for me. It's a reminder for you when life is difficult and you say, peace, perfect peace, with sorrow surging round. Don't forget, on Jesus' bosom, not but calm is found. If I want to have peace, I better stay with Jesus. You know that song, Master, the Tempest is Raging? Beautiful chorus. Whether the wrath of the storm-tossed seas, it lists some things out here. You ready for that? Whether the wrath of the sea of life, the storms, whether that the anger of that and the fiercity of that storm, or demons. Paul said our battle is not against flesh and blood. It's against spiritual forces of darkness, demons. Whether it's the storms of life or the demons, or maybe it's men, flesh and blood that I see. People that I thought was my friends and they just stabbed me in the back. What do I do now? Whether the wrath of the storm-tossed sea or demons or men or whatever happens. The song says, and I believe it's true because it's come from Scripture, no water can swallow the ship where lies the master of ocean and earth and skies. One question for you, is the master of the ocean, seas, and skies inside your boat? Is he in your life? Or do you just play church? Again, I'm speaking to the choir. I think you're not just playing church if you're here on a Wednesday night. But you see the ideas a lot of people do. And that's why when sorrows surge, that's why when thronging duties press, that's why when this dark world engulfs me, that's why it's really easy to give up on peace. And I question that. But not when Jesus is in your life. In Jesus, on his bosom, there's nothing but calm that can be found. Do you believe that? Do you believe that? Another question. I mean, this is a poem, and the poem is just a series of questions, and this is an interesting one. It's the fourth one. Now, I know it's four, and you've already hit four here, but we still have two after this one. This is one I don't think it's in your book. How can I have peace with my loved ones so far away? I think it's a fair question. I felt it. I felt it for 5 years when we lived in Oklahoma City. And our family was in Texas. And one of the sets of the family was in Mississippi. And it was a long way, but not near as far as when this was written. You know, when this song was written, people were leaving the East Coast and traveling the West Coast, and they said goodbye never to see those loved ones again. Ever. No assurance that there's going to be a letter. No assurance there's going to be any contact. They left. And loved ones were far away. How can I have any peace? How can I have any peace with that? It's a question. It's a question that we sing with loved ones far away. Let's look at Philippians again. I think we might be able to have an answer to this question because we are looking for the answers, right? This is what we're looking for and hoping for. Philippians chapter 4. As we get to beginning of this, we're going to start to see, well, in the middle of it, we're going to see the think on these things, the excellent and what's a good report and whatever is pure and noble and all this. But take a look at verse 4, if you will. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I would say rejoice. This is Paul writing. Let your gentle spirit be known to all men. The Lord is near. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be known to God. This is Paul writing to the church in Philippi, and we need to listen. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. How can I have peace when the people I love and cherish are so far away and I never see them? I don't even know how they're doing. The answer is this. If they're with Jesus and you're with Jesus and Jesus keeping, they're safe, and so are you. I think what breaks our heart is when they are not with Jesus. When our loved ones have walked away from God and you know that they're lost. But if they're safe, safe in the arms of Jesus, if they're safe in Jesus, they're safe and we can rest on that and find peace. Now, if they're not in Christ, now we've got a job to do. Now we've got a job to do. And I'm speaking from experience. It's a charge not just laying out to you, I'm giving to myself as well. Peace. How can I have peace, perfect peace, when my loved ones are so far away? I put Isaiah 46 on there. Let's take a look real quick. I want us to catch this. Isaiah 46 is it's a great reminder that I think we need to hold on to. 46, 3 and 4. Listen to me, O house of Jacob, and all the remnant of the house of Israel. You who have been born by me from birth and have been carried from the womb, even to your old age, I will be the same, even to your graying years. I will bear you. I have done it, and I will carry you, and I will bear you, and I will deliver you. Verse 4, I have done it. This is our God speaking. Even in your old age, I'm not leaving you. That's our God. How can I have peace with loved ones who are so far away? Stay with Jesus. Can I say that just point blank? Stay with Jesus. Hold on to his word. Make sure that the day that you spend is embracing the Savior. Verse 5, one more question, and then we'll get to your number 4 in that book. How can I have peace? How can I have perfect peace when I don't even know what tomorrow holds? We sing it, don't we? I don't know about tomorrow. I don't know how things are going to go. How can I have peace when the future is so unknown? First Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23. One more answer to this last question. I think it's critical for us to see, again, coming from the pen of Paul, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23. He's talking about Christian conduct and how we should be praying without ceasing, how we should rejoice always. Verse 24, he makes this statement. I'm going to go back to 23, I'm sorry. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you entirely, and may your spirit and soul and body be preserved completely without blame at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he who calls you. And he also will bring it to pass. He did it. He'll do it. Even though I don't know, even though I don't know what tomorrow holds, even when I'm thinking this is, I don't see how this, bills are due and I can't make those payments. I've lost my job. I don't have a source of income. I don't know where I'm going to be able to get food to put on the table to feed my family. I don't know if any of us have had that situation, if any of us have been to that point, but you know there are people who have. How can they have peace when their future is so unknown? The answer is Jesus we know, and he's on the throne. You want to know what we do know? I don't know about tomorrow. I just live from day to day. I don't borrow from the sunshine, for its skies may turn to gray. I don't worry over the future because I know what Jesus said. And today I walk beside him because he knows what's ahead. He knows what's ahead. Many things about tomorrow are unknown. I don't seem to understand them. But brothers and sisters, that next line is what we hold on to. But I know who holds tomorrow. And I know that he also holds my hand. How do I have peace? How can I have peace in this dark world of sin? How can I have peace when so many things are pressuring me? How can I have peace when everything seems to be so far away and so upside down and I don't know where I'm going to be able to get the peace? Isaiah chapter 26, verses 1 through 6. You'll want to read all of it, but I'll take you to the third verse. The steadfast of mind you will keep in perfect peace because he trusts in you. Do you trust in God? Do you tonight, as you've come in out of the heat and sat down, you didn't just come here because the air conditioner's running. I know that. There's other areas you could go. You came here because you trust in him. That's why you did it. I believe that. With all my heart, I believe that. And if you do that, steadfast of mind, he will keep you in perfect peace. He gives us peace within. His peace gives us rest. It keeps us safe. It gives us calm. And we can have confidence. You know, it's like the song that we've sung the last many years. In Christ alone, my hope is found. He is my life. He's my light. He is everything. He is my peace. But we got one more verse. It's the sixth verse, and it's the conclusion of it. And it doesn't ask a question. It actually makes a statement. It's enough. I got it. It's good. I got it. It is enough. I can sit back with God's word in my hands. I can sit back and say, earth's struggles soon shall cease. I put up this verse. You know it, Psalm 46. Be still and know that I am God. That's where the passage is. We sing the song. But actually, literally, it means cease striving. Stop having that internal struggle. Stop doubting and going, oh, I don't know, biting your fingernails and worrying and wringing your hands. Stop. Hush. Be still, Jesus would say. It's enough. Earth struggles soon shall cease. And I love this last line. And Jesus calls us to heaven's perfect peace. That's our objective. That's the reason, brothers and sisters, that's the reason we do what we do. Because of the hope that Frank had. And he lived by. And I think you do too. I want to go ahead and take you to Isaiah 26. Do I have 5 minutes or does that mean I got to stop? Okay, good. That's usually the time frame. So I don't know, maybe I got lucky and got 10, but 5, okay. Isaiah 26, verse 3, we're just about wrapped up. I would encourage you to do that. Let's sing this song and then we'll wrap this up, okay? Sing it with me. Peace, perfect peace, in this dark world of sin. The blood of Jesus whispers peace within. Peace, perfect peace, by thronging duties pressed to do the will of Jesus. Something the world does not have. You know that, don't you? The world struggles. The world experiences fear and they don't know how to handle it. We experience that fear, but we know how to handle it with peace. The peace that only comes in Jesus Christ. In times of fear, I want to give you just a couple of things. We looked at Psalm 53 already. Oh no, we didn't. There's actually a song that goes with it too, believe it or not. When I'm afraid, I will put my trust in you, in God whose word I praise. In God, I have put my trust. We keep it right in front of us, don't we? It's in your wallet. Whether you got coins or whether you got bills, it says, in God we trust. It's a quote straight from Scripture. Hold on to that. I want to give you four things, four practical takeaways, and then this lesson will be yours. Remember the name. This is what Gideon did. Remember the name. The Lord is peace. When fear rises, remember peace is not a feeling. It's not something that we try to chase and go after. It's the one who saves us. Remember that. Number two, build an altar of testimony. You know, I'm not talking about a physical thing, and the money should never be something we idolize. But we do need to make sure that, like Gideon's altar stood as a testimony to this day, keep tangible reminders of God's past faithfulness. Remember that. You'll get from the Word. Have any of you ever taken 3x5 cards and written scriptures on them and put them around different places? That's a great reminder. That's putting the reminder, maybe some of the scriptures we looked at tonight. You may want to put those on a 3x5 card and put one on your mirror in the bathroom. Put one by the light switch in the bedroom. Put one in the microwave so when you go to mic it, you've got it right there. Build that altar testimony. We're almost done, I promise. Two more things of the takeaways. Receive and then respond. That's what Gideon did. He was given their direction and he responded. God spoke and then Gideon obeyed. We know that. Trust and obey. It's not just trusting. It's obeying and following that. That assurance leads to our actions. And the last one is always look to Jesus Christ. Always look to Jesus Christ. The fullest expression of Yahweh Shalom is realized in the cross and in the resurrection. And again, Romans 5, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God. How? Through our Lord Jesus Christ. I'm going to give you this just as the last thing to remember. Judges chapter 6, verse 24, beginning, we saw Gideon as a scared man beating out the wheat. And then he builds an altar and he there at that place to the Lord and named it God is peace. You know what that place was? That place was Ophrah of the Abizarites. Go all the way through Judges chapters 6 and 7 and then 8. And look how chapter 8 ends. Gideon dies and he's buried in the tomb of his fathers, of his father Joash. Where at? The same place where it began. He began with peace. And just like Frank, he ended with peace. That's our objective. Our whole objective is to stay faithful, to be realizing what God has given to us, the peace that surpasses all understanding. I put this up here, it's not a commercial, but just if you want to see any of the things that I'm doing, you can do a QR, that QR code, sign up for a newsletter, or you'll receive more lessons, devotionals from Sing with the Spirit, what I'm doing that way. But thank you all so much for letting me be a part of this. Marty, I'll turn it to you.
When we originally contacted Myron to come, it was before they had moved to Texas, and he still came tonight, even though he had to drive 5 hours to do it. Are you glad he drove 5 hours? Amen. Thank you, brother. We appreciate it so much. Great lesson tonight. Lord, love you. We're dismissed.